Boom. Morning, Walloon Church. How you doing? Merry Christmas. Yeah. This is the season. Hi, Balcony. I see you too. Yeah. Everybody good up there? Yeah. Nice. I know I'm going to owe $20. That's the deal. If you mention a kid or a grandkid in a sermon, you owe $20. So I'm just going to own that right off. I have a granddaughter, Emma Bradley, who just started driving. Therefore, I know about these things. So go ahead, put it up, Dan. This is the state of Michigan. You can go to the website. I didn't know this till Emma started driving. But here's the deal. If you want to drive a car in Michigan legally, you must enroll in a certified driver's education class, and you have to be 14 years old in 8 months, okay? Complete all your required classes, your instruction hours, pass a knowledge test, then you graduate from segment one. I'm telling you, it's a deal, okay? You apply for your level one learner's license, you complete 30 hours practice driving. At least two of those hours has to be nighttime driving. The level one license allows you to drive with your parent or a legal guardian who's at least 21 years old, okay? And this level one license expires when you're 18 years old. Then you can apply and enroll in a segment two training, okay? Must complete all required classes, instruction hours, pass a written test. You then must have additional practice driving hours, a minimum of 50 hours of practice driving with a licensed adult. 10 of those hours must be at night, Glenn. Did you know that? No, there you go. Then you can schedule and pass an on-road driving skills test. And after you've had your level one for 6 months, successfully complete segment two, then you can take advantage of the driver skill test, and then you can apply for a level two license, meaning you can drive without supervision for 3 years. To meet the requirements of a level three license, Greg McGeorge, pay attention, you must not have received any tickets over that time, okay? Otherwise, you can't get your level two license. Okay, there you go. Compare that lengthy, expensive, detailed process mandated by state law, rules, regulations, fines, to the current process of parenting a child. Think with me now. Made in the image of God, shaping and building the life of a little one. No training, no classes, no supervision, no testing, no graduated licensing. I'm telling you, before you take a baby, boy or girl, home from the hospital, you aren't required to know or do anything. Here's your baby. Hope things turn out okay. And can I just say, hope is not an effective strategy. I hope things go okay. For the job and the role that matters the most, the training and future of our children, there are almost no rules and no regulations. Don't kill them. Okay, yeah, go for it. Wouldn't it be wonderful if there was a wise mentor, a seasoned coach, a trainer who could help us with our parenting skills? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah. This morning, we're going to take a look at the earthly father of Jesus. Because in the earthly father of Jesus, who is, Bible trivia, what is it? Who's there? Joseph, okay? And we're going to learn from Joseph this morning and a messenger that the Lord sent to Joseph to prepare Joseph for the biggest role of his life, okay? And I would argue that was being the earthly father to Jesus. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. If you're able, Would you stand with me? We're going to read from Matthew chapter 1 about the birth of Jesus, the Messiah. Matthew 1, we'll start with verse 18. Here we go. Read with me. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary is engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. "Joseph, son of David," the angel said, "do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. "Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this very familiar section of Scripture that you gave us to instruct us, to teach us, to train us, to encourage us, to correct us. Lord, would you do all of those things today? Might your word and your spirit have freedom to move in your church this morning. I pray especially for those who've had a hard, difficult, painful week. Lord, might being together with church family, singing praises to your son Jesus, studying your book together, might that bring hope and comfort and strength. And Prince of Peace, bring us your peace. Speak loud, speak clear. Your servants are listening, Lord, and it's been on my heart ever since I heard it, so I just want to lift up the Fine family, because Jake now is doing real well. He's with you. Never been better. But Angel and Rebecca and the kids are doing awful. So, Lord, help us to do our part to love on them during these hard days. We love you, Lord. You are the Prince of Peace, and we need you. And the Fine family needs you. And all the church family gathered at Walloon Lake said with one united voice, "Amen." Amen. You can be seated. When we first meet Joseph here, he's planning on divorcing his wife, we would say his fiancée, Mary. Okay? Jewish custom at this time, it was a two-step wedding period. Okay? First, there was a betrothal period. We would call that Mary and Joseph were engaged. Okay? But in the eyes of the Jewish law, they were already married, okay? Even though they didn't live together, they were married. The bride would continue to live with her parents, while the husband, catch this, typically would build an addition onto his parents' home, okay? So he'd build a little wing on, a house, onto his father's house, get his affairs in order, and then once everything was in order and the house was built, usually around a year, the groom would come for his bride, and then the formal wedding ceremony would take place. Understand? Okay? Joseph, during the betrothal or the engagement time, discovers my fiance, my wife, is pregnant. And here's what Joseph knew. I'm not the father. Joseph knew he was not the father of the baby growing inside of Mary. Verse 19 tells us, because Joseph was a righteous man, a good and a godly man, he was just going to quietly break off the marriage with Mary. Okay? He wasn't going to humiliate Mary for having a baby out of wedlock. He decided, I'm going to divorce her quietly, privately. Since he was a good, godly Jew, he couldn't just marry her because he wasn't the father, okay? But he also didn't want to treat her like the woman caught in adultery. Remember John chapter 8? Remember the woman and they were going to stone her to death according to Deuteronomy 22, Leviticus chapter 20? Joseph's practical priority here, I'm going to take care of my own reputation and I'm going to look out for Mary's reputation too. But here's what's interesting. We just read, okay? God the Father had a different priority for Joseph. Okay? The Lord's priority was, Joseph, I want you to look out for Mary and the baby. Okay, I want you to look out for Mary and the baby. And practically, if you'll think about it, this is going to be a tough decision. This was asking a lot of Joseph. Because people would assume he was marrying someone who'd either been unfaithful to him, or he was marrying the woman that he couldn't wait, and they had been unfaithful before they came together and had a baby out of wedlock. Okay? Either scenario, at this time, biblical time, this was bad. Okay? Mary was unfaithful, or Mary and Joseph got pregnant before the wedding. This was a shameful situation back in biblical days. Now, I understand 2024 happens all the time, but biblical days, this was serious damage to your reputation. You could be ostracized from family. You could lose your job. You could lose your friends. You could lose everything you had because of such accusations. So, let's see if social pressure, damaged reputations were more important to Joseph than God's priorities. Go back to the text. Verse 20, here's what it says. As Joseph considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Verse 21, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now this is huge, because the reason that Mary was pregnant was not because she'd been unfaithful to him with another man. It wasn't because Joseph and Mary couldn't control their passions. Very clear, Mary was pregnant with the second person of the Trinity, the third person of the Trinity, excuse me. Jesus was born both of woman, Mary, and born of the Holy Spirit, God. Okay? As fully God, Jesus could pay the eternal penalty for our sins on the cross. Think about it. He as God could pay our eternal penalty for sins, which infinite humanity, finite humanity could never atone for all of our sins. Only God can do that. As fully human, Jesus would be our representative. Jesus can be our substitutionary sacrifice on mankind's behalf on the cross at Calvary. So he's got both covered. So Matthew makes it really clear to both Joseph and us, Jesus was born of woman, man, Mary, and Jesus was born of God through the power of the Holy Spirit, making Jesus the God-man. Literally, I would say God with skin on, okay? A key doctrine essential for salvation, okay? Now, please know this. This doctrine is often attacked by cults and seen as primitive and crude. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons say, well, Jesus is God only with a little g, okay? He's God with a little g, one of many gods. New Agers will say things like this. Well, just search and find for the God inside yourself. You ever heard that? Just look for the God inside of you. Okay? Note verse 21 with me. This baby has a name. I want you to name this child Jesus. Yeshua. Yeshua means Yahweh saves. Say it with me. Yahweh saves. This baby is going to save people from their sins. Humanity's greatest problem, 2024. Listen close. Mankind's greatest problem today is not economic. Okay? The problem in our world today is not a lack of money. The greatest problem in the world is not environmental. It's not that we don't have enough trees. That's not our greatest problem. The greatest problem for humans is not political. The answers ultimately are not going to be found in Washington, D.C. or Lansing. Our greatest problem in life is not a lack of education. We need more degrees. That's not our greatest problem. Our greatest problem, go ahead, Dan, put it up there, is spiritual. We're sinners. And only Jesus can save us from our sins. Say that with me. Our greatest problem, as humans, say it loud, come on, is we are, and only Jesus can save us from our sins. That's true. It really is. Okay? Which leads us to probably right now, today, my favorite Christmas verses. This is a quote from Isaiah 7, verse 14. All of this, verse 22, all of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Verse 23, look, the virgin will conceive a child. She'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, which means God with us. We're never alone again. Think about it. We're never alone. Why not? Because Emmanuel, because Jesus is with us. Would you just pause for a moment and think about that? Jesus took the outrageous step to take on a human body and come to earth to be born God with skin on. Our sins made it impossible for us to have a relationship with a holy, perfect, righteous God the Father. You tracking? So Jesus left the glory and the splendor of heaven, lived a life without sin, qualified uniquely. Jesus alone qualifies to be the sinless Lamb of God. And by the death and shed blood of Emmanuel, Jesus canceled the debt of sin for all who will receive Jesus as their Emmanuel. That is awesome. You just think about it. Wow. Wow. In Jesus, Emmanuel has come to rescue and redeem and restore our relationship with God the Father. It wasn't available. In Jesus, Emmanuel, we see how extreme and amazing God's love is for you and for me. Okay? Now, here's what's true about the Christmas season. Think about it. When life is great, you know, Glenn, and everything is wonderful, there's no better season than than Christmas season. You know, it's the most wonderful time of the year. But, you know, Henry, when we find ourselves in a valley this time of year, when you're facing your first Christmas without a loved one, when your health is fragile, when you're in pain, when a family member disappoints you and they're not there for you, or when your finances are failing and there's no room in the wallet for Christmas this year, okay? Christmas season can be the hardest time of the year. This can be the most challenging. It's these hard seasons of life when Emmanuel makes all the difference in the world. Suddenly now you go, oh, I'm not alone. I never am alone again because of Emmanuel. Jesus, our good shepherd, walks with us when the mountaintops are green and life is great and the grass is green and everything's wonderful. And my prayer is that's what's going on for you right now, Ben. Pastor Ben. But here's what you need to know. Jesus, our good shepherd's with us when you're going through the hardest and the deepest and the most painful valleys of life. Okay? That's Emmanuel. So, let's see how Joseph responds, okay? He's got the priorities of God. He's got the news now. Here's the real thing. Here's what's going on. The angel of the Lord has made it clear. How does Joseph respond? Verse 24. Here we go. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and he took Mary as his wife. Verse 25. But he did not have sexual relationship with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him, what did he name him? Without hesitation. I love it. Boom. Right out of bed. Remember, he heard all this in a dream. Okay? He gets up out of bed and he obeys. Isn't that great? Okay? He takes Mary as his wife. He names the baby boy Jesus. Yeshua, Yahweh saves. He demonstrates to us, Joseph shows us the importance of obedience. When God makes himself clear, right away, clear commands of God, Joseph's all in. He obeys. Can I suggest something to you? Every problem that you face today, as a person, as a family, as a nation, is because we've forgotten and ignored or plain disobeyed the clear commands of God's book. Can I tell you? This is why we're in trouble. When we know what God wants us to do and we choose not to obey, that's our trouble, okay? Even though Joseph was given hard, challenging instructions, even though Joseph was told things, this is going to alter the rest of Joseph's life. He willingly obeyed. He willingly did the hard things. He took Mary, his wife. When it was clear King Herod was out to kill his son, what did Joseph do? Anybody remember Hebrews, Matthew 2:13? What does he do? He flees to Egypt. They're poor. When they sacrifice, they can only sacrifice a dove. So what's the deal? They had wise men came, give them gifts of what? What did the wise men bring? Gold and frankincense and myrrh. Oh yeah, the Lord provided some material that they could sell to live on while they waited in Egypt. And they didn't know the language, they didn't know the people. But catch this, Joseph was going to do whatever it took to protect his wife and his son. Whatever it takes, I'm going to protect my wife and my son. And when news came, Herod, the king who wanted to kill his son Jesus, had died. It says he wanted to return to Judea, to Bethlehem, to that region. Why? Probably so they could get a fresh start. You know, there were rumors going on there in Nazareth where they could get a fresh start from all the rumors. But because they got word there was still some danger from Herod's relatives, Joseph took Mary and Jesus back to Galilee, Matthew 2, verse 23. Even though it was the hard thing, protect them. Joseph willingly cooperated even with instructions that were hard and difficult. Here's my question. Moms, dads, grandmas, grandpas, are there dangers your children, your grandchildren are facing today? And maybe you're thinking, well, I don't have some king trying to kill actively my son, my daughter, my grandchildren. So I would ask you to think a little deeper with me. What about the music that they're listening to, filling their ears? What about the images that they consume on YouTube or TikTok? What about the messages that they're receiving at school? I guess there's things that can kill that aren't just physical death. Are you willing to follow Joseph's example? That's my question. Are you willing to do whatever it takes to protect your family from danger? Joseph moved from northern Israel to Egypt, then to southern Israel to protect his family. Joseph took radical action. It was inconvenient. It was expensive. It altered the rest of his life. But Joseph was willing to do whatever it took to defend and protect his son, Yeshua, and his wife, Mary. How about you? How about you? There's this song by Michael Card that talks about Emmanuel. Actually, we've listened to it a time or two at Christmas Eve. It's really become one of my favorite Christmas songs. And we're going to listen to that and sing along in just a few minutes. But I love the fact, put up here that slide, Dan, we are never alone again because Emmanuel, Jesus, is always with us. We're never alone again. Why not? Wherever we are, if we know Emmanuel personally, he's always with us. Two thoughts. Two thoughts about Jesus, our Emmanuel. First, if you know Emmanuel, if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, if he's your Savior and your King, I don't care what kind of year you're having, it might be tough and painful and challenging, it might not look very merry, Christmas 2024, here's what you need to remember. Give me your eyes. Jesus, Emmanuel, is with you, has been with you, and will always be at your side. Is that not good news? And I don't know why, but when things go bad, sometimes we forget that fact. Our Emmanuel, our good shepherd, walking right at our side. Myron, whatever valley you're facing, whatever challenge you're going through, you are not alone. Jesus is with you. Second thought. It's possible you're here in person, or maybe you're watching online, and you might like the warm fuzzies and the tinglies of Christmas. You might be here or watching, and you're even okay with, you know, the baby in a manger and wise men and shepherds and the whole story. But it could be you've never said yes to Emmanuel. You've never said, Jesus, I believe and I receive. You've never opened the door of your life and invited Emmanuel, Jesus, into your life as your Savior, your King, your forever friend. got good news of great joy. Are you ready? Here's the good news. Emmanuel will come into your life today. Is that not good news? Emmanuel, God will come and start a personal relationship with you and be your Messiah, your Emmanuel, starting today. Matter of fact, I believe right now, Emmanuel is knocking. I believe that with all my heart. I think anybody who's here and doesn't know Emmanuel, or you're watching online, I think he's ready to come into your life and be with you and be your Savior and Lord and forever friend. The greatest gift that's ever been offered. Are you ready? The greatest gift that's ever been given is Jesus. And he's ready to come in, and he'll be your Emmanuel. Won't you today open the door of your life and let him in? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, that no matter what we go through, you're always there at our side. No matter how bad things get, no matter how deep the valley, you're right there at our side. And we praise you for that. So help us to remember that. And I suspect some of my friends here or watching online are in a really tough place. Thank you, Emmanuel. We invite you back in. Come and take charge. Give us your wisdom. Give us your grace, your comfort, your peace to navigate whatever it is we're facing. Could it be today you need to say yes to Jesus and accept the greatest gift that's ever been offered? It really is. The greatest gift is God took on a human body, God with skin on, lived a sinless life, and he did that for you and for me. He alone uniquely qualifies to be the sinless Lamb of God. He took my place on the cross and yours. He shed his blood to wash and cleanse our greatest problem in life. We're sinners. And the only cure is the blood of Christ. He took our place in the grave. Early Sunday morning, Jesus didn't stay dead, but he literally, bodily, physically arose from the dead for you, for me. Wow. And right now, by faith, you can say, you know what, Jesus, Emmanuel, I open the door of my life to you. I invite you to come in, Jesus. Come in. I trust right now that you will come in and this relationship is for keeps, and I choose to walk with you starting today. If you're here in person, make your way over to the prayer corner. We'd love to celebrate with you and get you going in this new relationship. If you're watching online, would you hit that prayer button? We'd love to celebrate with you. We'll get you a Bible if you need one. We'll get you going in your relationship with Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for being our Emmanuel. We love you. Help us, Lord, to not forget you this season as things get busy and crazy with all sorts of stuff going on. Lord, help us to remember Emmanuel, God with us. We love you for it. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.